I'd like to take a look with you at a realistic view of fellowship and a biblical view of fellowship. And that's a gift that God gives us as believers. I know when I first received Christ and began to grow, it took me a long time to want to be in fellowship with other believers. Somebody said, you should pray. I said, I understand that, how important that is. I'll pray. They said, read your Bible. So I can do that. I'll read the Bible. Love people. I'll work on that. Fellowship. I'll get around to that sometime. It takes too long. It's a little bit messy. And that came last all the time when I wanted to be an effective Christian. So maybe you could identify with some of the struggles that early believers had, and I think you and I have. Tell a story first off here. A story about three people waiting for a train at a train station. It was very important they get on this train and reach their destination together. And the people's name were Mr. Eye, Mr. Ear, and Mrs. Feet. And they had to work together, stay together, so they could get on this train. Well, they hung around the train station for a while. Nothing was happening. Started to go in their own different directions. All of a sudden, Mrs. Feet says, the train's coming. I can feel it. I can feel the rumble in the ground. The train's coming. Come on, let's get together. Be near the train station. Mr. Ear says, I don't hear anything. Nothing's going on. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. Mr. I says, there's no train coming. I don't see any train down the tracks. Went their own merry way, the three of them. Pretty soon, Mr. Ear says, aha, Mrs. Feet was right. I can hear the train. It's coming for sure. Come on, Mrs. Feet, get together. Mr. I, come over here. Let's get back to the train station. We can't miss our destination. Mr. I says, you're off. I'm looking. I see nothing, I tell you. I know I'm right. You two are off the mark. Well, finally, the train comes around to Ben. Mr. I, he's glad to say, oh, so good to be back with Mrs. Feet and Mr. Ear. Let's get on that train. We really needed to hang together. The train pulls up. It's kind of high on a platform. Mrs. Feet says, I can't get up there. My feet are so sensitive, kind of tied to the ground. Mr. Ear doesn't want to try. Mr. I says, I see the steps clearly. Follow me. Working together, communicating with one another on the train, they get to the destination God really meant for them. And God's Word tells us it's the same way with you and I. The Bible says you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And we work best together when we're connected to each other, we're in communication with each other. That's when we understand our destination the best. That's when we do the best serving and the best work. So that's a part of what God has put in our hearts. We are really, as people, wired to be connected to one another. We're more like sheep and less like leopards. Leopards are lone, solitary creatures out and about, ready to pounce and attack. And then that's the view of a lonely, solitary Christian, out and about, really more of a dangerous person than a helpful person. Sheep stick together. They protect one another. It's only when a sheep wanders off that most often it gets attacked by the wolf. So togetherness, the Lord has built us into that. And we are not to face life burdens on our own. As the Scripture told us this morning, bear each other's burdens, and in this way we fulfill the law of Christ. And if we had a heart for doing what God wants us to do, Paul said the whole law, just take Genesis through Malachi, the whole law is summed up, Paul said, in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow, what a call God gives us. It's a good call. It's a healthy call. And I've been blessed in my life by fellowship with people. Just to give you a picture of what fellowship could look like in terms of bearing each other's burdens, helping each other out. Years ago, our youngest son had to be taken to Children's Hospital after being in another hospital for a while. He was kind of in an emergency situation of needing good health care. So we went, and it was between 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock at night when he was transferred. Well, so we get to the hospital and try to find out where he's at, taken by ambulance, and I went around the bend looking for the emergency room and where he was located. And around the other bend of the hospital comes three fellas from our church. They had driven 2 hours at night just to be there in heart and to see what would happen, you know, helping pray for my son. And you might say, boy, something like that never happened to me. Or I would like that to happen to me. But it can happen for you and to you. Maybe not physically, people being there for you, but certainly when they're aware of what's going on, praying for you to get through a tough time, or being there on your behalf, a part of your support team, as it were, it just makes you a stronger Christian, and you get through life a lot better. And sometimes if no one's been there for you, you could be there for somebody else. You could be that person coming around the bend and lifting them up. So God's Word makes fellowship real, realistic, but very attractive, a part of what He wants us to have as Christians. Tons of other scriptures come to mind when it comes to fellowship and helping each other. Jesus said, you help the least of the brothers, that's how we help Him. Jesus said, by this all people will know you're my disciples. Have love one for another. And God commands us to live in 1 John 4:12. We love God, who we can't see, by loving each other, who we can see. And that's a big call in our lives. It's kind of where the rubber meets the road as believers. And each of those calls and the call to fellowship requires, I think, a crisis of commitment that happens in our heart. Because we decide, okay, is that for me or is that not for me? Is it optional? God says, no, it's not optional. It's a part of who you are. And it reminds me of the story of the Polar Bear Club that took place in summer camp. I heard about when a friend of mine was growing up, he went off to Christian camp every summer, joined the Polar Bear Club. That's when early in the morning, some of the guys would get up and go down to the swimming hole and go swimming first thing in the morning with a lifeguard. And the water was 65 degrees or less. And the temperature of the air was, 60, 55, whatever. It was cold. So they would go jump in the water, get all invigorated and full of life, and come back clean and refreshed and feeling like a real real team. Well, one fellow decided he was going to join the Polar Bear Club. So he rolled out of bed, got all bundled up, walked down to the swimming hole, and there he is in his swimming trunks. He puts his foot in the water. Feels like ice water. Freezing. No way, he thinks. Back to the cabin he goes, where it's a little safer and sounder. His roommate rolls over in bed and asks him, well, did you go in? What's he going to say? Technically, he was in. He was in. But he didn't really experience what the other polar bears were experiencing. Cleanness, refreshment, energy beyond what they expected. And that's a picture of our relationship to other believers. When we're in just a weensy, then we only get a little bit of the effect. When we're in with all our hearts, with God's help, then all of a sudden we feel like we're rolling a little bit spiritually, but because of the help and graciousness of others. And so our fellowship is a crisis of commitment. I think the early disciples had the same kind of crisis you and I have, because they were very imperfect followers of the Lord. The Lord all bunched them all together. Just think of some of the characters that were in that group. James and John were there. They had requested to be on the left and right hand of Jesus when everything was over. They felt like they were a cut above their fellow believers. And that happens in the body of Christ. They're the James and John syndrome. And then the other ones get mad. And Jesus has to straighten all of us out. But that's the way the fellowship works. Imperfect, but the Lord working right where we're at. Also in the fellowship, Peter was there. Peter was the leader. Always ahead of everybody else. Getting out of the boat, taking a risk. Sinking fast. That's what happens if you try to lead any kind of thing that the Lord calls you to. And Peter wanted to straighten out the Lord himself. That happens also in the fellowship. We try to straighten out the Lord, but he's trying to straighten us out. Also in the fellowship, Judas was there. We don't know why Judas was there. He was there. And he betrayed Christ. You might say he hurt the other believers also by what happened. And it'll come to pass also in any fellowship you're in. Sooner or later, a relationship you thought was close and helpful and good, all of a sudden it won't be good. And you'll feel like you got hit, blindsided, or hurt because of that. And we should know when that happens, the Lord is very good to deal with that. He hung in there with those disciples and helped them through that rough time. And God will be there for you, you know, when you feel like that has occurred to you. Fellowship, a closeness with one another because we are close to Christ. He calls our hearts to a commitment to that. I think there's three responses to fellowship that you and I have at any one given time. And maybe you could see yourself in one of these experiences I've had. The first response to fellowship is independence. No, I need Christ, but I'm not sure I need anybody else. That's independence. And it's been said in an almost scary way. It sounded heretical to me when I first heard it. It's been said that in the New Testament, when Jesus preached, he never preached, "You just need me and that's all you need." Instead, he more preached, "You need me and I'm going to connect you to the people around you." That's more what Jesus preached. And so we're not to have independence toward other believers. I did early in my walk with the Lord, and sometimes still do. I remember one time I was invited to be a part of a real good fellowship group. Had a really good leader and had some solid Christians in that group. But also in the group there were some people I knew who were a little bit on the wild side of life. They liked to party a lot. They were rebellious. And I'm thinking, why should I go and be with those Christians if some of them are doing that? And so what I did, I didn't participate in the fellowship. And what happened was this. The fellowship became strong toward Christ. The people who were party animals repented. And they were not party animals anymore. And the whole group grew and became closer to the Lord, while me and my independence kept my distance and didn't grow. I wouldn't get my hands dirty, but I wasn't growing either. And so God calls us not to independence, but to really be connected to the people around us. The second response we have is dependence. I need you all, and you better make me happy. Dependence. I remember expressing dependence in my college days, being a part of a college fellowship for 4 years. That was a good time for me, good time to grow. And in my senior year, they were going to elect officers of the college fellowship. And I thought, I know they'll pick me because I'm a senior and, you know, I've been here 4 years. And they ought to pick me if they're smart. And wouldn't you know it, the Lord being wise picked others who were better servants, better able to serve. And I said, well, fellowship didn't give me what I wanted. I drop out. Didn't tell anybody why I dropped out. I just dropped out. And about 3 weeks later, one of the fellows comes and knocks on my door. Hey, we missed you. You know, fellowship time. I was too embarrassed to tell him the real reason why I wasn't coming. But I went back. And it was good to go back. And good to grow again. So God calls us to more than dependence. Just wanting things. Wanting our way. Calls us instead, in a healthy manner, to interdependence. The eye needs the ear, and the feet need the rest of the body. So we're called to rely on each other and be strong and work together. You know, if we see the body of Christ only a certain way in terms of being ideal, we'll never learn to love it, to love each other as Jesus did. I'll tell you a story about interdependence that worked well. in a particular group of fellowship. It was in a senior high fellowship. There were two senior boys in the whole church who were active. Their names were Kurt and Brett. And they had nothing in common other than the fact that they both knew Christ. And Kurt played the violin. Kurt was in the drama club. And Kurt was into the arts. Okay? And then Brett, he was on the football team. He liked to lift weights and he liked heavy metal guitar. Okay? Leather jacket kind of person. Somebody came to these two fellows and they said, "Look, we know you're not friends, but you both know Christ. And could you make a commitment to helping each other in your faith? And while you're doing that, could you make a commitment to help these other young people in the church, be an influence on them and draw them to faith in Christ right where they're at?" And miracle and divine intervention, Kurt and Brett, as they grew closer to the Lord, they grew closer to each other, helped out other kids, you know, in the group because they saw the goal that fellowship was worth it. And the fellowship they had in Christ was stronger than the fellowship they thought they might have if they just kind of hung around people who had other lesser things in common with each other. Interdependence worked for them. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this about fellowship. He said, in our hearts, we are called to love the real fellowship, not the ideal fellowship. In our minds, we all have an ideal of what we think fellowship should be and church should be. And when it's not there, sometimes we say, "Well, I'm not going to participate then because it's not what I think it should be." But Bonhoeffer went on to say, when we love the ideal fellowship more than the real fellowship, we destroy the real fellowship by our non-participation. And you could sense that in other relationships in your life. You know, if you have little ones in your family, you said, "I always wanted the little ideal Bobby and Janie as children. And then look what the Lord sent." You know. And you have a choice at that point to love and to be committed right where they are and right where you are. And you try that with your relationship with your spouse. I expected the ideal spouse. And if I don't have her, well, God calls us to love people, the real person. Jesus loved us. He didn't wait to love us until we got to heaven. He said, "You're perfect now. Come on, I can love you." He loved us while we were yet sinners. So when it comes to fellowship, we're called to love people where they're at, with their flaws and the messiness of relationships and all the things that are rough and difficult to put your heart into. And it takes time. And it takes heart commitment. But the end result is worth it because we get to know Christ better. And we get to make other people stronger and be stronger with the Lord our own selves. And when we decide to love the real fellowship, I think I've mentioned this before, but just as a reminder, every sin that's in the world, you'll find in the fellowship. Every sin. And we deal with sin a different way, don't we? The world just says, "Well, then let's just whoop it up with the sin." The believer says, "No, we come. We know God can deal with our sins. He can bring forgiveness. He can help us in repentance. When one believer is a little bit stronger than the next, the one helps each other out, and then they both become strong. One learns humility, and the other one learns how God can bring a person through." And I've found in my own life, the closer I become to Christ, it's almost like an automatic magnet that I want to seek out fellowship with other believers, imperfect as I am and imperfect as they are. And that happens when the rubber meets the road in a practical way, in spontaneously. God just brings about, you know, friendships or acquaintances among Christians. Sometimes it happens by plan. I keep going to a Sunday school for for a couple of years, and all of a sudden I feel connected to people, committed to them. Might happen in a small group of believers. You know, you play some games for a while, or I found meeting together twice a month just gives a heart for, say, you know, I come to share Christ with people and to hold people up in prayer, and they can count on me, and I know I can count on them. There's a strength in that that God has modeled for us in the Bible and in the New Testament. And I encourage you to seek that out in your life, because God connected you not just to Him, but to each other. And fellowship itself is so critical that John the Apostle connected it to where a person really was in their relationship with Christ. He did that throughout his letter of 1 John. In fact, he got so dramatic that he said this: if a person is not in fellowship or commits to leave fellowship, and he wasn't talking about, you know, just if a Lions person became Presbyterian or Methodist, those things happen in God's providence. But he was saying if a person all of a sudden had, I don't want Christian fellowship, that's not important to me, and is not in fellowship, John said, they went out from us because they were not of us. In other words, they did not have a real relationship with Christ, and that's why fellowship was such an unimportant thing to them. They had no, the love of Christ for other believers was simply not there. And so check your own heart, you know. You're probably in process like the rest of us. God teaching us about the health that happens when we're connected to each other intentionally. He teaches us about the unhealth that happens when we're not connected. I was grilling the grill the other day with charcoal. And the old illustration, the charcoal that was together kept its warmth and did what it was supposed to do. The charcoal by itself was warm for a while and then fizzled out and was not effective. And I know in my life, I've never known a Christian grow significantly in their relationship with Christ who was not connected to other believers. Never known such a person. Even if there was such a person, they wouldn't do us any good anyway, right? Because they would not be helping other people. They would be out on Mount Sinai somewhere whooping it up with the Lord, allegedly. No such person exists. Even Moses came down from the mountain and went with the fellowship that was there. So you and I, our call is this: to walk in the light. When we do that, walk in the fellowship with God, walk in that light as He's in the light. And then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from the things that are rough and out of balance in our lives. And would you, along with me, say, Lord, help me to be an active part of the body of Christ by having a commitment to a growing fellowship with other believers. It's scary. It's messy. It takes God's process in our lives, but it's God's will for us. And the results are really tremendous. And would you also just consider your own faith in Christ? Are you connected to Him so you could be connected to each other? He certainly gives us that invitation and that call on our lives. Could you pray with me as we look to God together? Father in heaven, I know the need in the heart of every believer, and I've seen it in my own life, to be in significant growing relationship with other Christians. And Lord, I know we live in a world and in a lifestyle that fights hard against that. Most of us hardly have time for people under our own roof, let alone other people that we would call a brother and sister in Christ. But Lord, I think You are stronger than our own hurriedness. And I think You are stronger than the culture we live in. And I think You can build pockets and lights and commitments of fellowship between believers that are such a blessing that they become a picture of heaven itself. Lord, help us to take on this call for us to seek out a fellowship of believers, to make it happen when it's not happening, to see ourselves as responsible. And dear Jesus, from that, just put into practice your good word, encouraging each other, building each other up in love and good works, and helping us to know you better. And Father, I do pray also for anyone here who would say, I don't want fellowship because I have not made peace with God. Oh Lord, please help, Father, to know that they could say, Lord, come into my life so that I can have you to be my friend and be in fellowship with other people. Your Holy Spirit can only produce that new birth. Might there be a heart cry for you today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I remember a quote that a fella said that I do want to share with you because I think it's rings so true in Scripture. He had mentioned that none of us go to heaven alone. When you think about that, we go to heaven because somebody prayed for us, somebody gave us a Bible, somebody rooted us on, and Jesus is the way, but we didn't go to heaven alone. He also said that each of us, if we were to go there, would go to hell alone. Because we felt like we didn't know Christ. We weren't significantly connected to anybody else. And it'd be a sad life. God's way is different. So take that heart commitment for yourself to be connected to each other. And don't go to heaven alone, but take others with you. Let's be ready to sing to him.